One Bible comes from the manuscripts given to us without error from God Almighty, the Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament and Textus Receptus Greek New Testament. One Bible is authorized by the word of a king, published in 1611. One Bible has been declared anathema by Rome and the Pope, and its readers burned at the stake for owning it. One Bible is hated by false religions, cults, and apostates from Rome to the United Nations. And one Bible stands as God's great weapon for an end-time remnant, the authorized King James Bible of 1611, the only Bible ever used by Bible Believers Fellowship. We use it because we believe it. Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and part two of our two-part Salvation Series message titled Law and Grace. In part one, we began by looking at the fact that without law, there is no grace. Without law, a person cannot know they are lost and even know they need to be saved. These messages are good for the seeker who wants to know how to be saved, and also for the Christian who wants to know how to share the gospel with the lost. Stay tuned at the end of this message for contact information, but make a special note of our website address, which is kjvbiblebelievers.com, where you can contact us and find our free audio, video, and written materials. That's kjvbiblebelievers.com. And now let's begin part one of our Salvation Series message titled Law and Grace.
I don't know how you knew that in Israel, Saturday, from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, Israel shuts down. Yeah, the only thing they will do is, if forced to, they will defend the country militarily. That's it. And that's because all but a remnant have rejected the gospel and rejected Jesus Christ, and so there's a sizable minority who insist that these laws still be followed in Israel. And hey, if you're going to claim to be a Sabbatarian, the Sabbath is to be kept in the land, and you're supposed to obey all the rules, and it's a Saturday. Everybody else who doesn't do those three things, they're pretenders. But that's why we just spent how many minutes on that discussion? That's why when you're presenting the law, don't go to Exodus 20. You end up in a discussion about the Sabbath. We're not wanting to talk about the Sabbath. We're wanting to talk about the fact the person is lost. The person needs to be saved. So if you go to Romans chapter 13, verse 9, and every time the law is mentioned, you'll see it like this. The Sabbath is never mentioned. For the new covenant Christian, the law never includes a Sabbath. And in Romans 13, 9, in that one verse, you can prove to any honest person that they are lost and need to be saved. Paul says, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And you can sit and talk to that person just for a few minutes and say, have you ever committed adultery? And of course, you can run to where Jesus says, if you've lusted, you've committed adultery. Thou shalt not kill. That includes abortion, by the way. But it also includes, according to 1 John, that if you hate your brother without a cause, then you've committed a murder in God's eyes. Thou shalt not steal. Almost every kid at some point in time took something out of mommy's purse or took a candy bar at Kroger. Man, I can tell you a story about when my brother did that and got caught by my mom. Wow. He was under the law then. Amen. Under the law too, man. Man, I love talking about that when he's around too, because he can still see the look on his face. Brings back bad memories. I'm his brother. I'm allowed to act like that. Says, thou shalt not covet. That's to lust after someone else's stuff or what they've got. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I mean, you know, I still commit that one because, you know, it's tough loving neighbors these days. It's tough. You get to know your neighbors and then you're sorry you did a lot of times. Some of our neighbors, it's like a revolving door because there's all this drugs and stuff going on and they're constantly being thrown out, evicted, thrown in jail. You know, so you try to love them, but I'm not going to stand here and act like I'm, you know, perfect at it because it's hard. But that's not the point. The point is if you're lost, if you don't know Jesus, you haven't believed the gospel, you need to look at that and treat it like a mirror and admit you don't keep that. I don't care what you stand there until you're blue in the face and try to convince me. I guarantee you by the end of the conversation, within a few minutes, we'll be able to prove you've broken God's law. Therefore, you need saved. Here's how you can sum it up. If you've had sex outside of heterosexual marriage, had an abortion, hated anyone without a cause, stolen, cheated, lied, coveted, if you committed any single act listed above or not loved your neighbor, then you are a lost sinner and need to be saved. Now, folks, that's the biblical method of preaching. That's why Jesus, when he looked at the rich young ruler, he kept saying, "Have you done all this?" "Yes, I've done that." "Well, then go sell everything you have and give it to the poor." If the dude had looked at him and said, "Well, I've done that too," Jesus would have laid another one on him. And the conversation would have continued until the young ruler realized he ain't perfect. He ain't sinless. He's lost. That's how Jesus dealt with the lost. And that's what you do. You just keep naming the laws off, naming the commandments, and if they were to claim to have kept all those, just start naming all the other things that are supposed to be done, and eventually an honest person is going to admit that they need to be saved. It's not that hard. And here's why you do that. A person who's lost is under the law. Romans 3:19 says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. And all the world may become guilty before God." You can't lose with this, folks. You can't miss. If you talk to a human being, break out Romans 13:9, you will at least have convinced them they need saved. Here's how I like to put it. The law says, "Shut your mouth." You don't stand there and try to pretend you don't need to be saved. The law will shut your mouth. And you know what? That's what needs to happen. All these fake preachers need to shut their mouth. All these wannabe secular preachers like Oprah, she needs to shut her mouth. It is a dangerous thing to preach a false gospel. And a gospel without law is a false gospel. You just run around town, everybody. I've told this story before. I apologize to those who heard it. But a few years in the ministry, this man was bragging about how many thousands of people he had led to Christ. I'm thinking, well, I want to hang out with this guy. So I was talking to him. He said, "Hey, why don't you come on over for dinner?" So yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good. We go to his house. His wife, man, she could cook. Everything had lard in it. Amen. Oh yeah, had the accent to go with it. "You had enough?" I don't know how many times I heard that. "You want some more?" And I was like, "Pour it on." And you know, the kind of food you can feel it going through your veins while you're eating it. Anyway. We're sitting there talking, and you know, the food was great, everything, but I'd come with a mission. I want to know what this guy was doing. I said, "I'm new in the ministry. I preach the gospel, you know, I do it, but I'd like to know, you've led so many people to the Lord. What do you do?" And he started telling me, he says, "Well, I'll tell you how I did the other day. I walked down the road, and there's this young lady, and I walked up to her, and I said, 'Young lady, can I ask you a question? Would you like to go to heaven?'" Now, how many people are going to say no to that? I mean, unless it's the devil himself. "Do you want to go to heaven?" "Well, yeah." "Would you like to know for sure right now that you're going to heaven?" "Well, yeah." He says, "Well, say this prayer with me. Dear Lord, please save me. I thank you for saving me. And I now receive Jesus as my personal Savior. Amen." Well, I have to correct myself. He said the prayer like this. He said, "Dear Lord, please save me. I know I need to be saved and I want to go to heaven. Thank you for saving me. Amen." And he said, I turned, I looked at her, and I said, you know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And now you have eternal life. And the red flags, you've probably seen them popping up all over my head. I said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he said, well, if you want to go that route, that's the only route. That's what you're dealing with a lot of these soul winners today. And even if he'd mentioned Jesus, that girl had no idea why she was lost and had no idea what Jesus had done to save her, which the Bible says you have to believe to be saved. And he's running around boasting about how many thousands of people he had led to Christ. He hadn't been preaching the gospel. All he was doing was swindling people, so he'd go around bragging. That kind of guy is described in Jude. Jude verse 4, there's only one chapter in Jude. This is a lawless grace that's being preached today. Jude warned, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. It's a dangerous thing to preach a false gospel. They are ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men. I don't care how godly you think they are. These men are devils. And I'm talking about most of your TV preachers and most of the preachers in the churches right around me. I've talked to them. They're a bunch of godless punks who want to take advantage of you. They want to make merchandise of you. They want your money. I don't want your money. If you don't believe the gospel, keep it. And don't ask me to preach a false gospel to tickle your relatives' ears. We need to stand on the truth and preach the gospel. If we stand alone, so be it. Amen?
Amen.
Why? These are the ungodly men. Are they ungodly because they're sleeping with their secretary? No. Are they ungodly because they're homosexual? No. What's it say? They turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They turn the grace of God into something cheap and unbiblical. They take the grace of God and they make it a tool for their own self-worth and self-improvement. They can turn the grace of God and they can benefit from it when it's preached without a cost. When it's preached without law. And so they fill up the seats, fill up the coffers, full time. $2 million home, nice car, 3 or 4 2-week vacations every year, living it up, full pension. You think I'm kidding? I could name preacher after preacher I've talked to, and they've looked me in the eye and told me they're part of the United Methodist denomination, even though they know it's apostate because of the retirement plan. Look me eyeball to eyeball and confess that to me. You know what I said? You're going to answer to God. That's why I don't have a lot of preacher friends. Mm-hmm. With friends like that. So here it is. The law was never intended to save souls. The law was always intended to afflict souls.
Yeah.
Comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. That's the purpose of the law. Jude 21 through 23, we're just there. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And watch this, because this is going to contradict most everything you're told today. We're only supposed to love. Only supposed to speak softly. Yeah, we're going to have to get rid of verse 23. Let's just cut it off. What's it say? Of some have compassion, making a difference. There's the problem. You have to pray about how to witness to people. And you make a difference. And some have compassion, but it says others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating. What?
Hating.
Hating? That can't be right. Christians don't hate. Oh, yes, you do. If you're really a Christian, there's some things you hate. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. There's some people that you see need your compassion. there are other people that you will be confronted with. And this is including some of my own family, some of my friends, some of my neighbors, and perfect strangers, where I knew to look them in the face and to tell them, "You're a fool. You are a fool. You had better open your eyes. You are deceived." There's a time.
A lot of them are thinking, "I'm okay."
And those are the ones. The ones that will argue with you about how okay they are when they're not. That's where you know pretty much the difference to make. Now, that leads us to the second reason. Beyond preaching the gospel, it is to try the spirits. All these people claiming to be ministers, you test them by the law. What do you mean? Well, Matthew 5:19, Jesus said this, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now I want to mention this. If you look in Matthew 5, Jesus doesn't mention the Sabbath in His list. But He lists laws. And if you teach against these laws that He's talking about, which doesn't include the Sabbath, and you break them and you teach others to do so, you're a false teacher. Well, think about how many of the ministries today are saying, "Oh, it doesn't matter. You know, as long as it's consensual, just go ahead and have all the sex you want. Man with man, woman with woman. Have at it. As long as you guys agree to it, I mean, yay." That's what's going on today. "You must be born again," is what the Bible says. "You're a new creature in Christ. If any man be in Christ, old things have passed away, all things come new." Not today's gospel. Today's gospel, "If any man be in Christ, old things remain, you ain't changed a bit." That's how you test the false teachers. And Galatians 3, again, I know that's not the... It's 1 John 4. Now, I know you're going to think I'm making excuses, but I've been having problems with my system. I'll type something in, I'll save it, close it, open it back up, and the changes I made are not there. So I'm not losing my mind. That happened a long time ago. 4:1, I'd say. All right, 1 John 4:1. We're commanded. This isn't optional, folks. This isn't optional. This is a commandment. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they're of God." We have a message on that a few months ago. "Because many false prophets are gone out into the world." You take everything you hear and you put it on try all. Now, you're the judge. The Bible is the standard. But you're the judge. Jesus says that spiritual man, or Jesus commanded us to judge righteous judgment. Paul said, "The spiritual man judgeth all things." "Know you not, you're going to judge angels," he said. You better get some practice now. How do you do that? You try the spirits. You put them on trial, and that book is your standard. Just like the Supreme Court. Just like the Supreme Court's supposed to. Compare the laws passed with the Constitution. If they're not constitutional, throw them out. Baloney. That hadn't happened since Abe Lincoln. But that's the way it's supposed to be. And that's the way we treat the teachers. We take them and compare them to the Word of God. Now, anyone who says the law or the Old Testament, you'll hear people say that, is not for today, is a deceiver. That pretty much sums up most of the denominations today. The Churches of Christ, Disciples of Christ. There's numerous denominations who don't even use the Old Testament. Won't even preach on it. Why? They say it's been done away with. It's no longer... So what do they preach? They preach be baptized for remission of sins. That's their gospel.
Or Are you speaking about just the Ten Commandments, the entire Old Testament?
They teach, most of these groups teach that the entire Old Testament is done away with. Some of them narrow it down to the law. Either way, they're deceiving you. Because the law has not been done away with, and the Old Testament is not done away with. The Old Testament still contains hundreds of Old Testament prophecies that haven't been fulfilled yet. And the Old Testament is how we know we've got the right Jesus. If it wasn't for the Old Testament, how do you know you got the right Jesus? The only way you know, you go back to Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah 7:14, a Messiah has to be born of a virgin. Micah tells us he'd be born in Bethlehem. You know, on and on. Isaiah also tells us he would be raised in Galilee. You have all these prophecies. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't even know if we had the right Jesus. And they throw the Old Testament out. The Old Testament tells us all about the kingdom. That's why groups like that don't believe in the coming kingdom. It's not that it's not there, but they just rip the part of the book they don't lie out and they ignore it. That's why. Now, if they try to put you under the law and tell you to keep the law, that might be my extreme. Well, let's read this real quick. This is what Jesus said about the Old Testament. He said, Matthew 5:17, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets." Now, when he said law, he's not talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about the Pentateuch. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And the prophets. Well, that actually in the Old Testament would include books like the Psalms. They are also filled with prophecy. All the way through Malachi in our Bible. And Jesus said, "I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." You see, so the Old Testament law is still for us to read because we can see He's already fulfilled. The passage is referring to His first coming, and He's still going to fulfill those referring to His kingdom. So the Old Testament's not done away with. Also, anyone who teaches that we're saved by keeping the law, which I mentioned a moment ago, is also a deceiver. Galatians 2:16 says this, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Can't get much plainer than that. The law isn't there to be followed for salvation. The law is there to show you your need of salvation. And so anyone tries to say you're saved by keeping the law, and by the way, they'll either preach that law or they'll make their own law. The cults make up their own law and say, "You follow our law. And by following this, 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 and this, you'll be saved." Well, either way, those who preach this false gospel of works, keeping the law, are cursed. That's why it's so important to get this. Galatians again, chapter 1. Galatians 1, and beginning in verse 6, read that with me. "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." In other words, he's saying there's this other gospel that really isn't another gospel because it's not good news. It's not a gospel at all. It's garbage. And they are perverting the gospel of Christ. Now, what's he say? Verse 8. "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Oh, verse 9. "As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." False gospel is a dangerous thing for those who hear you, but for the preacher. But once law is established and the sinner is convinced of his need, that's when you preach the gospel. I say it again, get this in your mind and think this through. Let it sink down deep inside. You can't get a person saved if that person doesn't understand they're lost. And that's the purpose of the law. They understand they're lost, and that's when you explain to them the gospel. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins. That doesn't mean anything until you've established the law. Now they read it and it means something. According to the Scriptures. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the Gospel. The Gospel is you're a sinner, you're lost, you deserve hell. Jesus died on the cross, paid your price for you, was buried, and rose from the dead, proving He has the power. If He has the power over death, if He can overcome His own death, then He has the power over death for all. He has won the victory over sin. He has won the victory for you. And if you believe that gospel, having recognized your need, you are saved. Right there. That's it. That's what it comes down to. You see, it's a total slap in the face to human pride. You have to humble yourself. You have to admit you need God to save you. And you have to admit that you understand that He did that for you. Not for just man. Not for all the people. This is personal. This is you facing your own sin, your own need, and the price that you caused Jesus to have to pay. You are the reason He's dead on that cross. You are the reason He was beaten. You are the reason His hands, His feet, and His side were pierced. You are the reason He was on the cross, thirsting, calling out to His God, "Why hast Thou forsaken me?" Suffocating. And commending His Spirit unto the Lord after saying, "It is finished." The law and your works don't save you. It's finished. The work is done. What remains is for you to humble yourself and admit you can't save yourself. And that's the gospel that you present to every lost person on the planet. Amen?
That concludes our Salvation Series message titled Law and Grace. If you would like to contact us, simply visit our website at kjvbiblebelievers.com and click on the Contact Us button. Again, that website address is kjvbiblebelievers.com. You can also send your letter by U.S. Postal to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. That address again is Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. We hope that you will tell others where you found us, whether by radio program, YouTube, Facebook, or on our website. Use our materials freely to share the truth of the gospel in these last days. We believe that Jesus is coming soon, and the opportunity for preaching the gospel to the lost is about to come to a close. So we hope and pray that our listeners will join the tens of thousands of other Bible believers listening to this program who are out preaching the gospel as we see the day of the Lord drawing near, knowing that the rapture could happen at any moment. I am Pastor Greg, and on behalf of Bible Believers Fellowship in Worthington, Ohio, we thank you for listening.